You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, and on the internet we also are broadcasting simultaneously at freakradio.org. My name is John Malkin, and the name of this program is The Great Leap Forward. And this evening I am happy to be here with Danny, and we will be talking about the Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence that will be happening May 7th through the 11th. 2009. And Danny is a volunteer at Subrosa, the anarchist bookshop, and here in Santa Cruz, and also part of the organizing group putting together the Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence. And for more information about the convergence, you can check out santacruzanarchist.org. And most or all of the events are happening at Subrosa Info Shop, which is at 703 Pacific Avenue. And Danny, I would like to warmly welcome you to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
So I have to say, the Anarchist Book Fair in San Francisco has long been my favorite free event in the Bay Area, and I have gone to a lot of them and really enjoyed it, and I'm really happy, and also the Anarchist bookstore Bound Together that's up there. Every time I go up there, I visit that store, and I'm really happy that Subrosa is here now and that there will be this first Anarchist Convergence in Santa Cruz. So thanks for helping to organize both of those things.
It's the labor of love, for sure.
So, maybe start, I don't know if you want to start by talking about the convergence and what it's going to look like, and how people can participate and what they might expect if they go.
Great. That's a big chunk of something to talk about. The Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence will really take form based on who comes and what they bring to the table. But in terms of the organizing collective and what we're putting forth, it's a four-day event. People can arrive on Thursday. We're working really hard to have a lot of information available to provide housing, to provide food for people while they're here, let people know where they can have fun and get their needs met in Santa Cruz. And then we'll have our kickoff event on Thursday night at Subrosa Info Shop starting at 8. And that'll be a showcase of talents and fun things that Santa Cruz anarchists like to do. And then the real bulk of the event will happen on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be having a really, really free market on Friday and workshops. And we have 5 workshop tracks to sort of focus the event. We're focusing on the Green Scare and the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, which is an issue that is certainly very relevant and close to our hearts here in Santa Cruz. We'll also be looking at anarchist infrastructure, which would be something like this radio station, Subrosa, free school, Food Not Bombs. Another track is called Interrelatedness and Community, and that's looking at how we as anarchists and radical people choose to interact with each other and strategies for having relationships based on autonomy and mutual respect outside of normative constructs of power. We'll also be talking about applied anarchism, which is a space to look at anarchist theory, anarchist history, the different types of anarchism, how we're alike as anarchists, where we have contention as anarchists. And finally, resistance, looking at ways that people are actively seeking to create the world that they want to live in, ways that people are organizing to protect and defend their communities and the earth and things that are important to us. So the workshops will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 6. Also on Saturday and Sunday, we'll be having an anarchist book fair in the courtyard. So there'll be zines, books, propaganda, flyers, posters, patches, all the goodies that people produce. And then on Sunday, there'll be a free school picnic. And then there'll just be lots of fun events. Friday evening, we're having a square dance to benefit Free School Santa Cruz, which is a long-running, amazing radical project here in Santa Cruz. And on Saturday night, we'll be having a show featuring Blackbird Rom, which is an amazing local anarchist band. Also, La Plebe from San Francisco will be coming down, and they're really fun. It's going to be a good time. We'll be having a bike history tour of Santa Cruz, and we'll be having space for kids to hang out, and many more things to be announced. Whatever you all out there in Radioland want to do, that's what will happen.
Fantastic. It sounds super. And I think that people can still apply to do workshops and have tables until Friday, April 17th. Until this Friday, there's that deadline cutoff. But if people want to have a table of information or so on, they can online fill out an application to do that.
That's correct. And we're still welcoming workshops and all the tracks and still welcoming tables and still welcoming ideas for things that could happen that we haven't even dreamed of yet.
Are there any particular speakers or groups that you are focusing on or particularly excited about happening?
Well, we are in the stages right now of just getting emails and getting proposals sent in and sort of looking them over. We haven't officially approved any workshops. I'm really excited. I had a great conversation today with some members of the CLIT Collective, which is a sexual violence and consent organization here in town. And I have so much respect for them and I'm glad that they're going to participate. And we're also having a Know Your Rights training, which I think is so important for every person, whether you're an anarchist or not, to attend. And I happen to know that this is a particularly fun and exciting and well-respected Know Your Rights workshop, so I'm really looking forward to that. And we'll be doing moderated open thread discussions for each of the tracks. And within those discussions is sort of one of the things that I'm most excited about. This convergence is getting to hear people with different perspectives and from different places talking and discussing issues that are so important to me and so relevant to my life and my community.
So a lot of words mean really different things to different mm-hmm. people. And this program is actually dedicated to exploring social change and spirituality, compassion, and anarchism, and all of these realms can mean really different things to different people. In fact, you can have, you know, two anarchists who have exactly opposite ideas about how to interact, how to make change in the world. So I'm curious how you identify anarchism or anarchy and what you hold when you describe yourself as an anarchist.
Oh, wow. Well, I've gotten this question a lot since I've been interacting with communities and wanting to talk about the convergence. And where I like to start with this question is by saying that, yes, each anarchist relates to that term differently and it means something different to them. And that is sort of what is appealing to me about anarchism is it's not that it's my job to construct an ideology and then convert everybody to it. And it's not my desire to only interact with, to only be close to people who have the exact same ideas as me or the exact same desires, but to respect that each human is an individual, that each individual is the best person to decide what is right for them. And then through that respect and through that understanding, developing ways to interact with each other that feel good. There are some principles that most anarchists can agree on, and I think that that is a good place to start the discussion. Those principles for me are free association, autonomy, cooperation and mutual aid. So if I could unpack those terms a little bit. Free association speaks to the idea that we should be able to consent and construct the social, political, legal, et cetera, conditions in which we live. And in the world that we currently experience, you don't have that. I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm in the state of California. I'm subject to their laws with or without my consent. I'm subject to punishment for breaking those laws with or without my consent. So free association is this idea that I should be able to get together with people and create a way of living that works for me and that works for us. Autonomy is a big one. Autonomy speaks again to this idea that each person knows what's best for them, knows what they need, that we're in charge of ourselves, that we're responsible for our actions. Autonomy. Woo, love autonomy. Free association, autonomy. Cooperation, working together. Working together seems really simple, but it takes practice. It takes learning communication skills. It takes negotiating through differences. It takes being accountable for your behavior. It takes being accountable for what you say you're going to do. And then mutual aid is the idea that even though we're all responsible for ourselves, we're also responsible to each other and for each other's well-being. There's more than enough resources in this world so that everyone can survive. And mutual aid is sharing those resources, helping each other out, working together. So for me, a big part of why I'm an anarchist. Ooh, just lost my train of thought there. For me, being an anarchist it's a lot about what I do, but it's also a lot about who I am. And definitely there's this picture of the insurrectionary anarchist, you know, the bomb throwing, building burning kid. And that certainly speaks to the desires of a lot of anarchists. But there's also an element of, I want to have the most amazing life that I can have right now. And so I'm not just an anarchist behind a black mask in the street. I'm an anarchist when I go to my house meeting and when I walk down the street. And I work really hard with myself and with my friends and with my community to create new ways and new opportunities of being in the world and experiencing the world. And also work really hard to preserve the earth and the things that are important to me and to fight against the oppression that are experienced by the majority of people on the planet.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks for your thoughtfulness in your answer around that. Yeah, that's it's nice to hear really clearly these ideas that are supporting, you know, what the way that you're living. Mm-hmm. And those ideas really resonate with me hugely. And I guess also it reminds me, you know, when you're talking especially about cooperation and mutual aid and autonomy as well, with the inherent responsibility that's implied with that. I mean, there's also a hopefulness, really, and an optimism I sense that really is counter to sort of an apathetic overwhelm that is really huge in our culture and taught in our education system, especially, I mean, really clearly regarding all of these things, really. We're really taught not to trust each other, that you're just not going to find cooperation. You need to be dominant to get a wonderful mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And even supposed scientific education around survival of the fittest being how things are in the natural world, when mutual aid is really present, and maybe more so than this supposed survival of the fittest, where we are surviving because of each other, not in spite of each other. So it's nice to hear, you know, this real optimism too.
One of the things that I love about events such as the Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence, or even, you know, the Republican National Convention protests that happened in Minneapolis, or any of the other major protests, and with things like Sub Rosa, is it's an opportunity for anarchists to come together and to prove to ourselves and to everyone else that we can come together to provide housing, that we can feed each other, that we can provide healthcare for ourselves and for each other, that we can exist on this earth in a way that isn't so destructive. And these are things that my community does for and with each other every day. And these are things that happen at major anarchist gathering that we do, that the state, whichever state it is, consistently fails to do with all their power and with all their money. And to me, that is emblematic of what anarchism has to offer. Working together, people who know each other, who see each other's faces, who have a stake in each other's lives and well-being, those are the people who are appropriate arbiters of what should happen within a community, within a space, not a nameless, faceless entity like a state.
Do you have any interest or faith in government, political systems, making change through those systems, or those systems changing to serve the needs of people?
I have an interest in government and political systems to the extent that they are perpetuating violence against me and my community right now by criminalizing our lives and our dissent and our beliefs and trying to quell our hope and our spirit. I don't have much faith in them creating the kind of world that I want to live in. And it's really, really hard for people to hear that. And I always say that with just a little voice in the back of my mind being, because I don't want to disregard the changes that people have made in those ways. And I don't want to disregard the very important work that people do to make incremental and bureaucratic changes in people's lives. Like, I'm a queer woman, and the work of the gay rights movement in the 70s, the work of the women's lib movement, the work of, you know, other nationalist liberation movements, who some of whom worked within the system, have had a positive effect on my life. And I do acknowledge that, and I do appreciate the work that those movements and those people have done. But it hasn't been enough. And I cannot overemphasize, it would be impossible to overemphasize the ecological crisis that we're facing right now, and the crisis of our culture and how sick it is. And I do not believe that the government or political systems or corporations have the ability or the desire to alleviate that. It seems pretty clear to me that government, that the state, that corporations have an investment in maintaining systems of power such as racism and heteronormativity and misogyny in order to keep their power, and will only give just enough to put out the fire, so to speak, and will never create a condition where I can live the life that I know is right for me, or that the people I care about can live the lives that they think are right for them.
I feel much the same about government and political strategies, and especially I'm also really, you know, hearing a little voice that's saying there has been some change done through political means and through different movements over the years, but not enough. Mm-hmm. And fundamentally, the system has stayed the same, and even a lot of the same people are still in power over quite a few years, even mm-hmm. though apparent political administrations change, and then policies are the same. Mm-hmm. Violence, well, I have I have one collection of writings by Tolstoy that's called Government is Violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember that. That's a pretty clear analysis.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read that.
Yeah.
It really goes back to me, for me, to the idea that I'm an anarchist because I want to have the most meaningful, most amazing life possible. And I participate in movements. I participate in direct action to create that. And I also work with people who I care about and who I have affinity with to practice new ways of relating within that. And I'm not a martyr. I have no intention of spending my entire life trying to make slow change. I'm not a prophet, or it's not that, you know, poor people in the global South need my help, or it's that I believe that each individual is the best person to decide their own life. I believe that we have enough resources, and I want myself, the people I care about, and everyone to have access to the most amazing life possible. And government will never make that possible.
I'm speaking with Danny, and Danny has helped to organize the first, it's going to be annual, isn't it? Or is that too much to ask?
Let's start with, let's be in the now.
Danny has helped to organize the Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence, which is happening May 7th through the 11th, mostly at the Sub Rosa Info Shop. And that's at 703 Pacific Avenue, not far from the Saturn Cafe across the street up the block. And there'll be an anarchist book fair, a free school conference, a variety of workshops and discussions, music and games, food served by Food Not Bombs, and there'll also be contra dancing and concerts. I would love to hear, I'm always interested to ask people about the connection between anarchism and spirituality or compassion, or as you were putting it, interrelatedness. Mm-hmm. And the choices we make around how we communicate with people, how we get our needs met. I don't know if spiritual or compassion resonate with you, but I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are in those realms.
Well, spirituality is certainly a very personal issue, and there's not an anarchist take on that per se. I'd be happy to speak to my own experience, and that I understand myself to be a spiritual person, and that understanding of myself as a spiritual person is a big drive in my identification with and actions as an eco-defense anarchist, and that I have a deep desire to live more in harmony with the ecosystem of which I'm a part, to live in harmony and with the universe and, you know, the moon and the plants and the animals. And that is through my spiritual practice, I strive to realize that for myself. Compassion is huge. Compassion, in my opinion, is sort of at the core of humanity. And part of the reason why individuals and communities need to be and should be autonomous and working through cooperation and mutual aid. I don't think that I could be an anarchist, me personally, if I didn't have faith in compassion and empathy, because mutual aid and respect rely on, you know, compassion and empathy to work. And in my life, as an anarchist, as a person who does activism, just as a friend and a lover, I've experienced amazing acts of compassion and empathy.
So what do you make of people who call themselves anarchists, or the way that anarchism is portrayed in mass mainstream media, of autonomy being interpreted as me, not you? I'm concerned only about myself, and I'm not concerned about anyone else. There's no compassion, no considering the needs of others, and some emphasis on destruction and violence. And I mean, it seems to me that this portrayal in the mainstream media is then emulated by people, and there's some sort of feedback thing. Then there is imagery and reality of supposed anarchists acting that way. Then that's shown in media, and then people emulate that, and there's some sort of feedback. What do you make of that?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to disentangle a little bit the idea of direct action, sometimes which is portrayed or perceived or even is violent, with the idea of autonomy as being all about me. My experience of being an anarchist and participating in anarchist communities over a long period of time and in multiple geographic locations is, for the most part, that's just not true. If you are going to rely on other people to get your needs met, if you are going to organize, then there has to be some level of community mindedness, which is not to say that that anarchists are a group of people who've figured it all out and who have great interpersonal skills. That hasn't been my experience either. In terms of violent versus nonviolent resistance, that is one way in which the mainstream media really likes to portray anarchists as incredibly violent, dangerous terrorists, which is this is one of the most difficult things to talk about. I'm not speaking for the entire plethora of anarchism, but just for myself, in that first of all, I don't see property destruction as violence. That is not a widely held view, but that is my view, and I'm sticking to it. And I support a diversity of tactics. I respect a diversity of tactics. The things that we are facing right now are incredibly intense and incredibly dangerous and violent on such a huge level, an indescribable amount of violence. And I think that desperate people will do desperate things. And there is something to be said for tactical property destruction. Sometimes, violence is in the eye of the beholder. Like, doing a lockdown can be perceived as a violent action. But it's also, it's a useful tactic for stopping something. Like, the essence of direct action is that we're not waiting for someone to come and do something for us. There's a problem, and we're going to address it right now. This is a dire situation that we're in terms of ecological destruction. This is a dire situation that we're in terms of sexual violence and violence against women. It's a dire situation that we're in terms of economic crisis and people not having resources to feed themselves, house themselves, clothe themselves, their children, their friends. And we will do what we need to do to survive and to create a world that we want to live in.
Yeah, this is a realm that I think about, and you know, we live in a culture, and we live under or within a government that says that they use violence as a last resort. And I mean, history shows that that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always feel concerned when people are willing to destroy property and say that it's necessary because of the situation,
mm-hmm.
only because that's usually what people say when they use violence.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that there are situations where violence is necessary, and even the greatest exponents of nonviolence said that,
mm-hmm.
Gandhi being one of them. And of course, people wrote to him and asked him this all the time. What would mm-hmm. you do in this situation? In this, what if your son was being abducted or something? And he said, not responding to violence, not trying to stop injustice, is mm-hmm. not nonviolence. That's cowardice.
Mm-hmm.
And there are cases where even hurting or killing a human being might be necessary. And it's difficult because with that possibility in the realm of nonviolence or in the realm of anarchism, people easily can go straight there in interpersonal mm-hmm. ways and in international ways. You know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Right. Well, one of the things that happens a lot of times when people want to talk with anarchists about violence versus nonviolence is there is this sort of good anarchist, bad anarchist dichotomy set up. And that's just not a discussion or categorization that I'm willing to participate in. Like, I really honor a diversity of tactics. And I do think that there are legitimate and tactically sound reasons for using drastic physical responses to situations which we find intolerable. And I'm really unapologetic about that.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty about that. And again, your thoughtfulness about all these realms.
Thank you.
Yeah. are there any anarchists in particular that you really have enjoyed more than others in their writings or in their actions? Or
I have some of the most amazing friends that anyone could ever ask for, and it would be inappropriate for me to say their names on the radio. But I know some of them are listening right now, and I love you guys. I'm a big fan of zines. I was a community studies major at UCSC, and one of the things that we talk about in community studies is native informants. You know, people experiencing life, people experiencing oppression in social conditions are the most appropriate people to talk about them. We have some amazing zines available in Santa Cruz. One of the things that I read recently that I really enjoyed is the Insight Anthology. It's a writing by radical women of color about violence against women of color. Yeah, but I invite everyone to come on into Sub Rosa and check out all the things that we have available. There's also a really awesome publication called Quiet Rumors, which is an anarcho-feminist reader. You know, there's the classic anarchist theorists, some of whom I've read, some of whom I haven't. Emma Goldman, Kropotkin. Yeah, I really like the zines. The Doris zine is a good one. There's an amazing DIY health distro that has zines at Sub Rosa that people can check out. I love all the kids on the Sub Rosa Core Collective. I have a lot of respect for the people who really held down the tree sit. I feel really, really blessed to have such amazing people in my community and in my life.
I was a community studies major.
Yeah. Save community studies.
Yeah. It seems
or destroy
like,
the university, whichever.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah, one or the other. Do you think it's really, is it really going to be torn out of there?
I know. Sounds like they're going to cut the funding or there's talk crazy. Of cutting the funding. I wasn't able to attend the information meeting.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It is. It's really sad.
Yeah.
There's some really brilliant community studies faculty.
Yeah. My community studies experience was, it led into my big experiment with trying to make change within the political system.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped to establish the police review board mm-hmm. for the city of Santa Cruz, and it doesn't exist anymore, actually. And I sat on the board, and the police never wanted this in place, and they fought it the whole time it was being created. Fought it the whole time it was there. Most of the people appointed to sit on the board to read complaints against police officers, they were really concerned with meeting the needs of the police.
Right.
And it was awful. And I probably about a year after the board got created, that was in 1994, a friend of mine was walking by and he goes, "Congratulations, you just created another layer of bureaucracy in Santa Cruz." And I realized, the whole thing fell apart and eventually was officially disbanded anyway.
Yeah.
But it was a good experiment, and that's how I spent my school time.
Yeah.
You know. So
we have one of the highest per capita police rates in the nation right now in Santa Cruz. And we have a really intense social situation here where the cost of living is so high, the cost of property is so high, that there is a huge division between, the haves and the have-nots, and really just an all-out, for lack of a better term, war against poor people and homeless people and anarchists in this town. And just reinforces for me how obvious and how blatantly the police are the armed enforcers of the social order and how essential it is to counter that, to challenge that, to resist that. And I do have a lot of belief and optimism that societies can function without this sort of policing, armed brutality, bullying.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that again, because I really envision that. I know that will happen someday. I'm not sure it will happen in my lifetime, but communities where when there's conflict and even dangerous situations arising, that you don't call someone who's been trained to threaten to use force or to use force. Those mm-hmm. are the tools that those right. people are given. And I really left that experience with the police review board thinking the main thing that we can do is contact the police less and make them unnecessary eventually. Mm-hmm. So that requires actually a lot of responsibility on our parts in figuring out what to do with members of our communities when there's conflict mm-hmm. and when something dangerous happens, without calling people that have guns and have been trained to shoot at us.
Which is actually a project that I've been fortunate enough to actively participate in within my community here in Santa Cruz. It's a topic of discussion at Sub Rosa, how we deal with conflict, how we keep it a safe space without bringing in state violence. And also just within my you know, social network, looking at ways that we can deal with conflict. And it takes an incredible amount of work, but it is so worth it. Mm-hmm. And some of the strongest relationships that I have in my life, be they romantic, friendship, political, housemates, are relationships where there has been a lot of conflict or intense conflict, and we put in the time and effort to work it out, to process through that without relying on the police or other normative power structures, dominant cultures, bullshit.
Great. I'm really happy to hear that that's happening, that you're involved with that. My name is John Malkin, and the name of this program is The Great Leap Forward. It's on every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. And I'm speaking with Danny. And Danny, I want to thank you so very much for speaking with me this evening. It's been really fun. I appreciate it.
It has been really fun. Do I have a moment to do a shout out?
Yeah.
I'd love to see you all at the Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence, May 7th through the 11th at Sub Rosa. And if you are looking to provide some mutual aid, we have a need for housing for out-of-town attendees, speakers, workshop presenters, and tablers. We're also looking for donations of loaner bikes or just bikes in general, so that people can have sustainable transportation when they get to town. And there's still plenty of time. Well, there's still a few days until Friday to submit workshop proposals or tabling requests. And that can be done at santacruzanarchist@riseup.net. And there's more information on our website, santacruzanarchist.org. You can also feel free to pop on in to Sub Rosa. We're open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week, and get more information and check out our amazing space and our tasty dollar coffee.
I've really enjoyed hanging out there and listening to spontaneous music and poetry that happens.
Yeah.
And there's a open mic night Thursdays at 7:30.
Thursdays 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
It's the best open mic I've ever been to.
Yeah, and again, thank you so much for helping to organize the Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence, and I look forward to being there. And thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah.